This is the start of Advent, and today we're going to be reflecting on how we start to prepare for Advent. Each week we're going to be lighting an Advent candle as a way of marking a countdown as we prepare ourselves for that moment when we celebrate Jesus' birth. Today's candle is about hope, and we're going to be looking today in the service about hopes and fears. And the imagery of light is one that's been used by Christians throughout the ages to remind us that even in dark places, light can make a difference. Elizabeth is going to come and bring us our two readings for this morning.
The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a deep land of darkness, on them light has shined. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. My prayer is that light will flood your heart and you will understand the hope to you when God chose you. Then you will discover the glorious blessings that will be yours, together with all God's people. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18.
And Bethan and Noah are going to come and lead us in some prayers. Let's pray together.
Lord Jesus, we have come to worship you in this glad season of Advent, a season of expectation, of celebration, and above all, preparation. Help us to be ready to hear what you want to say to us today. Help us in our preparations for Christmas. Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, open our hearts as we worship you today, that we can recognise the ways you come to us now and to welcome you when you come again. Give us a deeper understanding of this season of Advent. Amen.
Thank you both very much. As we celebrate Advent, we are looking forward. We are looking forward to two things. The first is, of course, Christmas Day, when we can celebrate how God sent his Son for us. But we also look forward to God coming again. And sometimes we find it very hard in the waiting. Some of us are good at waiting and preparing. Some of us are less so. I will not ask you to put your hand up whether you're at the shops 5 minutes before they close on Christmas Eve sort of person, or whether you already have everything wrapped, posted, and cards written. I'm not going to ask you that. You know who you are. But I'm going to help you. I'm going to help those who are a little bit of trying to get the timing right. It's a bit difficult. We're going to do a little bit of an exercise here in understanding time. I have on my phone a 30-second timer. And all I want you to do is once I start it, when you think 30 seconds is up, I want you to put your hand up. Now, you mustn't look at your watch. You mustn't look at your phone. I will be checking. But when you think 30 seconds is up, put your hand up. Be warned. If you go up too soon, you won't hit the 30 seconds. But if you go too far, you'll be too late for the timer. So who is good at guessing 30 seconds? Do you think you're good at that? How hard can it be? Yeah, the confidence of you. So here's my timer. So when you think 30 seconds is up, put your hand up. Please, please don't just do it when the person next to you does it. Because they may not have a time. This is our first one. This is 30 seconds. In a minute, we'll do a minute and we'll see where we're going. But your 30 seconds starts now. Hands are going up. Yeah. Now, can you see it? Oh! Can I just say, some of you were up putting your hands up at 20 seconds. Some of you, I don't think you'd have put your hands up before Jesus came again, but never mind. Well, some of you had the long hand of shame. You know who you are when you put it up. You thought, oh, no, it's not. You know, there were a few of me and there's a few at the back there. Some of you are really getting the idea. But the whole point is, it's difficult, isn't it, waiting? The next one we're going to do now is 25 days. Are you up for that? And we'll, we could. But it's about waiting. And actually, the waiting for Christmas is only 25 days. But waiting for Jesus comes has been going on for hundreds of years. And so as we prepare, part of our waiting time is preparation. I loved looking out because I could see a lot of you going, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And some of you obviously count quicker than others. But you were preparing yourself. There was no one there sitting there going, whoa, this is boring. Well, that'll be about right. I've never heard such concentration in a church in my entire life. But we're preparing. And so as we go through the services, we go through today, we're trying to think about what it is we're preparing for and how we can prepare. Yes, for Christmas, but also for Jesus coming again. How we can be part of that. Anita is going to come and bring us our reading for today, which is from Isaiah.
The reading's taken from Isaiah, and it's chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. If you are following it in the church Bible, it's page 687. The mountain of the Lord. This is what Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war any more. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord.
How are your plans going for Christmas? Hopefully they're going really well. But this year we're going to be following some resources from the London Institute of Contemporary Christianity called Small Wonder, and helping us to look beyond the shopping list and the invites and the Tesco order to think about four themes: God's wonderful plan, God's wonderful news, God's wonderful work, and finally, wonderful to meet you. There's always this irony as we sing our Christmas carols, that when we come to this time of year, we often sing about peace on earth. And yet the irony, of course, is that in our world, in our communities, perhaps even in our own lives, there is fear. Fear for the people fear for the future of our planet. People fear for the conflicts in the world. People fearing for security of their jobs. People fearing the pressures that social media might bring. People fearing the unrealistic expectations that Christmas can bring. And Christmas has a way of magnifying those, I think. There seems something particularly difficult as we sing peace on earth and goodwill to all men, to open up our newspapers or our web pages and see again a bomb here, a conflict there, a disagreement here, someone accused of lying, someone uncertain for their future. At Christmas, a time of peace and love, often the world seems like it is not full of peace and love, and it isn't. We also may come knowing of people or being ourselves people who have fears this Christmas. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in Jesus on that night. But sometimes tend to hide those fears. Even as Christians, we can sometimes put on a face. John Wimber, a charismatic American minister, once when visiting Britain to do a healing ministry, described the Christians in Britain as the frozen chosen. because he was from California, and they were loud and bombastic. And he said, "How can I hear an amen?" And they'd go, "Amen." But actually, there's something about that which is difficult if we have real fears. As you came in today, you will have been given a piece of paper and a pen, hopefully. And what I'd like to do is to either draw or write down something that causes people fears today. It might be you, it might be people you know, it might be around the world. But if you could draw something or write something, a fear that is there in this world. And when you've done that, if you're able to come and pin it on the board here, that'd be fantastic. If not, pass it to someone else who's able to pin it on the board here, and they'll bring it down. And as we reflect on our fears, it's important to name them, because only by naming them can we deal with them. So write down a fear or draw a fear, and then if you'd like to come at the front, and we'll stick them on the front there, on our little bits of paper. As is it important to acknowledge our fears and the fears of those around us, it's also important to acknowledge that God has done something about it. We're going to listen to a short video now that talks a little bit about the Master's plan.
When I was at school, I used to play chess reasonably competitively. Some friends would say I still play everything competitively, but I played chess for a club. On one occasion, we had this exhibition event called Simultaneous Chess. They invited one of the country's masters, a top, top player, to play all of us at the club at once. All the boards were arranged around the hall. Half of us played the white pieces, and half of us played the black pieces. There were maybe 40 of us. And we had as long as it took the master to work his way around the room to play our next move. When he got to our table, we had to play our move instantly. And he would play his move pretty much straight away. Now, in the high adrenaline sport of chess, there's no shouting or cheering allowed. If you see a move in your opponent that you think is brilliant or outstanding, you don't clap or say, "Well played," but you are allowed to slowly and subtly and almost imperceptibly nod your head. That's as emotional as it gets in chess. It means, "I see you. I understand and appreciate your plan." The trouble with doing this to a grandmaster or international master is that it looks a bit arrogant, doesn't it? Plus, they've already moved on to the next board, so who am I nodding to anyway? More importantly, before very long, any nod that I gave wouldn't have been honest. You see, grandmasters have wonderful plans. Their plans take into account more moves ahead than I could possibly consider, and they consider more permutations and possibilities than most of us could begin to imagine. My memory of that day is that the chess master beat all of us, and maybe he drew with one or two of the top players in our club, and I was not one of them. The reality for all of us playing was that sometimes this master would play a move that made no sense to us until maybe 5 or 6 moves later. And sometimes the move made sense maybe 10 or 20 moves later. And sometimes a move like that only makes sense at the very end of the game. In that sense, our God is the ultimate grandmaster. He can see it all, plan more moves ahead than the smartest of us, take into account all the moves. And so at Christmas time, we can nod and give noisier thanks in our carols and prayers that his wonderful plan finds fulfillment in the birth of his Son, our Saviour. But it is also the case in our everyday lives, with challenges and uncertainties in our work, say, or problems in other aspects of our lives, maybe, that some aspects of his master plan will only make sense in 5 or 6 moves, and some in 10 or 20 moves time, and some we will wait for the end game. for his return.
God has a plan, and that doesn't change that our fears exist, but it does change the way we understand them. Hopefully as you came in, you'll also been given today a purple ribbon. And that's something I want you to take away with you today, to remind you about God's plans and remind you throughout Advent that he is in charge and he's in control and that we are preparing. We're going to listen to a song now as we reflect on that piece of ribbon. You may choose to attach it to your computer at home if you spend all your time there. If your wrists are small enough, you may want to tie it on your wrist and carry it with you for the next 25 days. You might find another way to do it. But for the moment, as we listen to this song that talks about waiting, just look at it, feel it, sense that God has a purpose. And sometimes we don't understand it. Sometimes, as we've just heard, we don't see it till the end. But we do need to reflect on it. So let's look at our ribbons and listen to this song, and then we'll pray together.
We wait with great expectancy to see your kingdom come. We trust your word to be fulfilled and pray your will be done. So in our world of ache and loss, we're calling out as one. Come Lord Jesus, we hunger and we yearn for your return. Come Lord Jesus, oh we pray for your return. You came to us so long ago, and you will come again. We long for heaven on the earth, an end to grief and pain. Lord, may our lives anticipate and usher in your reign. Come, Lord Jesus, we long to know you here. Come and draw near, come Lord Jesus, oh we long to know you here. So lead us in your patience, Lord, and help us match your pace. Walk the straight and narrow road in rhythms of your grace. And may this Advent way of life all hurriedness replace. Come Lord Jesus and teach us how to wait. You are not late. Come Lord Jesus, help us worship as we wait. Jesus, help us worship as we wait.
Let us pray together. Lord, we pray as we travel through this Advent that you will help us to worship as we wait. Lord, as we reflect on that purple ribbon, as we remember the preparation that you have put into your plan for this world, that where there are fears, there is also hope. Where there seems disorder, there is a master's plan. Lord, we pray that you'll help us to know that moment, to know that certainty as we journey through these coming days towards Christmas. Amen. Amen. As we turn towards a reflection on how we are to be involved in God's plan, Amelia is going to come and bring us a reading. Based on the reading from Isaiah that we had earlier. And Isaiah spoke into a time of great political unrest, a time where God needed to speak to the rulers in Jerusalem, where God needed to re-guide them back to where they should be. And yet he paints this beautiful image, doesn't he, of turning swords into plowshares. And what an amazing thing we would pray for our world and reflect on. But we have a part to play in that. And as Amelia comes and reads to us, it gives us an opportunity to think what that part is.
In the last days, they will beat their swords into the plowshares and their spears into the pruning hooks. So in these days, we will turn around the camera of our self-centered selfies to take a long, loving look at the face of Christ in others. So in these days, we will upturn the podium of our calculated competitiveness and elevate the least among us. So in these days, we will dismantle the walls of our fear, which keep at arm's length the refugees, the foreigners, the homeless, and build them homes with the same bricks and these same arms. So in these days, we will co-opt the cliques of our comfortable companionship into the counterculture welcome and the outrageous hospitality. In these last days, they will beat their swords into the plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. In these days, we will live in this broken world with redemptive purpose until the last days come.
Fantastic. Thank you. One of the great parts about the Master's plan is that we're involved in it. On the great chessboard of life, we have a role to play. Now, I'm sure most of you will know with chess, there are different pieces. There are the pawns who can move forward and take diagonally. There's the bishops who can go diagonally. There's the king who stands there in his solitude of his virtue, trying to avoid attack. There's the queen who darts around, destroying everything in her path. And the reality is, God's plan involves all of us. And different ones of us have different parts to play. Now, I'm not going to ask you to say, am I the all-powerful queen, or am I just a little pawn going forward when I'm told to? But each of us have a part in God's plan, a part in bringing hope to this world. And one of the things we can reflect on in the next 25 days is what that part is. Is part of our plan to be delivering some Christmas cards from the church to the local people around here, that someone may see an invite to a service and come along? Is part of our plan thinking about who we can, our role is to think who can we invite to the Alpha course starting in January? Maybe that's the move God wants us to make. Maybe it's noticing a neighbour who is lacking, who is short of money or facing crisis, and making a move over into their house and saying, can I help? Maybe it's visiting someone who you know will be particularly lonely at Christmas, sharing our love and our food and our kindness. These are all moves on God's great chessboard of his plan. But can you imagine a game of chess when the pieces refused? I'm only a pawn, I'm not bothered. I ain't going forward, I'm not doing anything. Can you imagine that? No. Or the castle saying, oh, it's cold out there, I'm not doing this today. Sort it with the others. No, we all have a part to play and an encouragement to do so. So whatever that part might be, try and make sure that you're involved in that. And I love the fact that actually, it doesn't matter if it's a small thing or a big thing. We always say the pawns are really small players until one in the middle of the board who attacks left and attacks right, defends backwards. And you sometimes think, oh, that annoying little pawn. Regardless of whether we are, whatever piece we're playing, each part is really important.